Dun, dun, dun.
The way she walks, the way she talks.
We are back. We are back.
Hit that one out the park, nephew. That's all right. That's back in the day. Hey, girl, can I get them digits? Trey took me back down memory lane that time, man. I was right outside Rock Creek Park on that one.
Oh, Rock Creek Park, that's a good one.
Hey, girl.
I'm going to have to slide that one in, too, Trey.
Right up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's all right. That's all right.
Let's get back to the show, man.
All right. So
I'm dying over here. The virus is winning.
Back to the NFL draft. And, again, we'll talk about this next week. So catch our show next week. We'll have who on Bill to talk?
Smoking Jim Frazier. Frazier's down. Frazier's down. And he's up again. Smoking Jim Frazier will be in here, the foremost authority on what's going on in the NFL draft. Players coming out of college, going into the NFL. Frazier knows them coming and going. And he'll be in here next week to lock it down for you.
So we'll be ready for Jim.
But let me ask you, can you do this? Can you do this?
Come up in here.
In all seriousness, can you say for the top five picks who you think it's going to be and where you think they're going to go? Are you able to do that?
Yeah, I'm able to do that.
Before
we do that, Bill, I want to make sure everyone is aware of another sports show here at Urban Media Today. And it's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. And it's on air on a weekly basis as well, every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. If you could catch it that early, I know you probably sleep in, Bill.
No, I'm up, brother.
But if you can't catch it at 8, it's back at you at 6 p.m. as well. And again, it's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. So we want you to catch that show. We want you to catch Trev and a crew talking sports as well. So back to the draft, Bill, as you indicated. But even before we get into the top five and who they're looking at, and we talked about that to a certain extent already, I can't leave hanging out there what Trev said about this white quarterback situation and how the NFL is so
– the stigma.
Has a stigma or so stuck on – the quarterback position and the white quarterback is what you said as well, per se.
Yes, sir.
And we're still talking about this in 2018, Trav.
Which hurts me.
That's amazing.
It hurts. And none of us in here are racist. I'm not saying that it's a racist issue or that we have a racist perspective. I'm just speaking reality when you look at that situation.
Look, well, 2018, two brothers can't go into Starbucks and use the bathroom without being looked upon as vagrants. Now, I tell you, now look, let's touch on that. I know you got some NFL stuff over there, but it's 2018, and you have two African-American men
in Philly
in a Starbucks where everybody on the planet that goes into a Starbucks goes in to do one of several things: sit, eat, drink, wait on somebody, meet. That's what it's there for. It cultivates that kind of atmosphere, a place to meet and talk and plan and relax and sit. And to suggest for no good reason, and that's important to note, for no good reason that you can't use the restroom, clearly was a mistake. And I guess you've heard today the CEO of Starbucks has apologized, and rightly so. We understand through the attorney of the two gentlemen, who, by the way, carried themselves masterfully. Great restraint, which will secure a lot of bucks for them at the end of this road.
Yeah.
But the CEO apologized, met with them, apologized, and all is moving well. But come May 25th or 8th or something, did you hear that Starbucks is closing all of their stores? Every Starbucks store on the planet will be closed on this upcoming date, for sensitivity training, racial training, and upgrading the quality of thinking in all of their employees. I think that's a huge step and a huge statement
for
any corporation.
More than 8,000 locations.
Yeah, that's enormous. So I applaud Starbucks for CEO for stepping up, apologizing, stepping up and taking the hit that they were wrong Although I do believe the manager that started this whole thing has been transferred, not fired. Mm-hmm. And I'm not so sure that I want that person fired either. They need to be educated. That person needs to be educated. That person needs to be brought up to snuff on procedure, protocol, and the right way to treat people. And I think at the end of this, everybody will be better for it.
Well, I think in this case, Bill, you have to fire the person from a company perspective, because now it put your company at risk, and you can't have individuals around that put your company at risk to that extent, because you know they're going to get sued based on this incident.
Except, Kev, and I'm not disagreeing with you, except that was part of the rule. The manager was kind of following the rule. If you don't buy something, you can't use the bathroom. Now, the reason they have that rule in place is for vagrants and drug users and people that want to come in and utilize the restrooms. So a little bit of that manager was a little bit of him following the regulations.
Well, if that's
part of the problem.
If he were following the policy, that's a totally separate situation.
Yeah, that's why they're going to have this shutdown to take another look at their policy and their method, because there were some. It was brought out through a couple different news reports that there are some Starbucks that are hard and fast on that. And I guess it depends on what area you're in and that whole kind of thing and what level of vagrancy and that you have. But this mistake clearly was made. But all things for a reason. I mean, we're all going to be better for it. Starbucks management operation will be better for it. These gentlemen will be richer for it. A lesson will be learned and taught and shared with corporate America across the board. Because every time these kinds of things happen, it should make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. And speaking of sports, is it true? And I believe I heard that Kaepernick was offered another opportunity to play. Was it
with Seattle?
Seattle,
yes.
And when asked the question, if we give you the opportunity to come here, can you assure us that you won't kneel down again? And he said, "No, I can't assure you of that." Hey, Kaepernick,
I heard the same thing.
Yeah, Kaepernick, go ahead on, brother. I'm with you. If your conviction is that strong, see, not everybody is ready for the revolution. Mm-hmm. You know, some revolutionaries are special. And I think it's made easier when you got some money in the bank. I mean, he's got some banks, so he can afford to continue his message. But I applaud him. I think that it's fair for him to say, no, I can't promise you that I'm not.
And I think it's fair both ways. I think it's fair both ways. So if he said that he would not stand for the national anthem, that's his own decision. As far as what he wants to do, I don't have a problem with that. And at the same time, if the team do not want to bring him on board because of that, I understand that as well.
Let me ask you both a question. I have an issue with what you just said, Kev. The reason I have an issue is the Seattle Seahawks were not ignorant in inviting him to a workout. They already knew the situation. They already knew what this man was standing for. They already knew what this man was kneeling for. Now, you're going to offer him, aside from all that, because this has been a year, so it's not like you're going into this in the dark. So no, you know what this man stands for, and you know what his position has been. So you're going to invite him for a workout because you're recognizing his talent. You recognize that he can contribute to your team. So you bring him in and then give him an ultimatum? That's setting him up.
Well, see, I disagree with that, because there's been reports that if he were given an opportunity, that he would stand for the national anthem. Now, there's new information that said he would not. So it sounds like, if the reports are true, it sounds like there were conflicting information.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Okay, so maybe that's why Seattle brought him in, because they heard that he would not take that stance anymore. So,
but this is the second time, because remember last year, even when he kneeled, the Seattle Seahawks were still interested. Remember, because they were saying Pete Carroll was probably the most open-minded head coach in the NFL, and he showed interest last year.
But it's more than Pete Carroll. This is all about ownership.
Well, shouldn't it
this
be?
This is all about ownership.
Shouldn't it be in America? Shouldn't it be, I'm going to sign you to play football based on your talent?
Not at all.
And wait a minute. In America, you have a right to your opinion This is the First Amendment rights. Are we still in America? It's your First Amendment rights. Shouldn't he be signed to do what the skill set requires? Can you play football?
You have a right.
There's no clause in any contract, I bet you, in NFL.
You have a right.
That you have to stand for the national anthem.
You have the right to express yourself any way you want to. But you also, it works both ways. See, that's what we can't lose sight of.
You're right.
Things aren't just one way.
It's two, both sides of the court.
Okay, so the team can make a decision as well.
Agreed.
There's nothing wrong with them saying that we like you. However, if you can't do things according to what we want because we own the team and you know what we want coming through the door. Therefore, if we're not discriminating against you according to race, color, religion, and all those other categories that fall into that group, that's their choice.
And I agree with that. My question to you is, why are you asking me that? My First Amendment rights allow me to not stand for this national anthem. Let me play football.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, well, yes, you have a right to defend your position, NFL ownership. But why do you care if I stand for the flag or not if I'm scoring touchdowns
again,
for
I don't want us to go too far down this road because we need to talk about the draft. But it's really no different than a lot of other things that companies require as well, such as the dress code.
True.
Again, you have the right to dress whichever way you want to. But if you want to work for XYZ company, we have a dress code. And we need to make sure that you're going to dress appropriately when you're within this organization. And if you're not willing to, well, you don't have a job. Okay, so there's all kind of rules you have to follow when you work for someone. And then let me make this clear, because for our audience, I want to make it clear. What Colin Kaepernick is fighting for, I agree with. Those issues need to be addressed. But you can't go into other people's place of business and just do whatever you want to. You have to follow the rules that they have in place. And that's my only position. So,
and you have a right to remain silent. You have a right to an attorney. And you have a right to do the hokey pokey. All those rights are out there. I'm simply saying, in the grand scheme of things, mm-hmm. what Trey have said, you knew when you called me what I stood for.
No, they did not. That's why they brought him in.
You knew my history when you called me.
There's a lot of times people change their position.
Did he acknowledge that he changed?
He did.
Did he?
Yes.
He said to the world, I'm no longer going to kneel on the national anthem.
Yes. Didn't you hear that at one time, Trav?
There was a report that he had said even last year that if given a chance to play, that he would stand for the national
anthem. Thank you.
Oh, I hadn't Thank heard you. That. Well, that's true. So he changed his mind again then.
That's what I said. Okay, so when you bring people in for an interview, you need to ask them the relevant questions, because if you don't, once you're on the job and you have a certain behavior, people would say, well, you should have asked when you brought the person in for an interview.
Well, couldn't they ask that question on the phone and save him a plane trip? Oh, before you come in for this interview, will you stand for the flag? No. We'll click bye.
They could have. They could have.
To stop you guys from falling down that rabbit hole, which it is a rabbit hole, because that could be the conversation for the rest of the show.
A whole show.
My only issue with that was the fact that you knew the history of this gentleman when you brought him into your place of employment. And I felt, me personally, like you as an NFL franchise were setting him up, because now he has a following and he has a lot of people who are looking at him. And if this man should now turn around and say, okay, I'm going to stand from this point on, when the issues that he addressed and brought up have not been addressed, makes him look like the fool, makes him look like, okay, he wasn't
the bad guy.
True.
Yeah.
To the issues that he's all about money. That's the perception that will be of Colin Kaepernick if he were to join an NFL team and then stand. And you're right, though. He needs a job. If I have to do something for my job, I got to do what I got to do.
There's a lot of...
You know why he's wrestling Trev? Let me tell you why Kev's wrestling. See, me and you are frontline warriors. When the revolution comes, we're on the front line. Kev's an orchestra.
Would be here too.
No, but Kev's an
orchestra. I would be there every day. Big time. Tell him, Trev.
Trev. He's a corporate guy, man.
See, I understand.
He's a corporate guy. He's going to be in the front office making decisions while we're on the front line. He's a corporate guy. I ain't mad at him.
It's important. When it would come to a revolution, you need educated warriors.
Well, one of the ones.
I became educated, but you got to understand where I started.
You fought some
battles. Where I started.
All right.
And anyone that knows me
knows better.
Know the real deal. Right.
Plus, you've been trained.
Don't get it twisted.
Plus, you've been trained in weaponry, have you not?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, I'll leave that alone.
But I really do see both sides.
You have to.
The NFL, and we need to talk about this one day, but the NFL has a real tough issue on both sides because you're losing people that feel for Colin Kaepernick, and they're also losing people on the other side that feels as though NFL players are disrespectful, and there's a whole lot that goes behind that that hopefully would be addressed right way.
To really piggyback off what I said earlier about management having enough of Bryant and possibly Bell, it falls in line, actually. It's really the same thing. At some point, ownership or management can say enough. Maybe what Kaepernick could do, maybe what he could do or concede to do, could be to agree to stand for the national anthem and tell the brotherhood across the NFL, we've made our point. We've raised the consciousness of this country. Let's find another way or another venue that we can continue this fight. Maybe that's a possibility.
And that's what I've said from the beginning. And since Colin Kaepernick took his stance, I know the NFL has committed millions of dollars to that cause. So the NFL is trying to take action to address the ills of our society and to black people in general, the injustices that is occurring throughout the country as well. But to get back to the NFL draft, again, we talked about, and I think this all started with Trev talking about the quarterback and specifically the white quarterback.
The stigma.
And the stigma, but Saquon Barkley, I truly do not believe, and this is something we can all watch for, but I'll be shocked if he'll be around by the fourth pick when it comes to April 26th, the day of the draft. That's also my wife's birthday as well. I had to throw that in there, so I'm not sure how much of the draft I'll be able to watch.
Happy birthday, Sheriff.
Wow. You got quiet.
I thought you were going to say something there, Trev, but again,
were you looking for some
when I mentioned Saquon Barkley, he got close to the microphone. I thought maybe he wanted to say something.
No, I said it. I think he's going to be at number four. He's going to be taken by the Cleveland Browns because I think the first three picks are going to be quarterbacks.
Okay,
Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and
so this is who I have because Bill asked the question. I think the Browns will go for Sam Darnold for their number one pick, which I believe would be a bad pick for them. Sam Darnold, in my assessment, he just makes too many mistakes. He turns the ball over too much, and you can't get away with that in the NFL. And I was able to say the same thing about Johnny Manziel, who the Browns picked as well. I thought that was a bad pick.
Where is Johnny? He's made a comeback. He's in the Canadian League?
No, he was playing.
It's another league. It's not a Canadian
league.
Another
new league coming up.
It's kind of a semi-pro league or
something. A development league that is trying to catch on.
Yep.
And they had at least one game. I did see some highlights from one game where he did pretty good. So
you know who Johnny Manziel is? He's the character from The Longest Yard.
Is he?
He's the real-life character from The Longest Yard. If you think about it, great quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner. And screws up. Yeah.
So, again, Sam Darnold, I have going to the Browns. And then I think the New York Giants, I almost called them the Yankees. The New York Giants will select Saquon Barkley. I think that's where he'll end up. And then we have the Jets right behind the Giants. So if the Giants don't pick him up, he might go to the Jets. So he might be in New York one way or the other. But I think Bradley Chubb, defensive end out of North Carolina State, will be selected by
the Browns at number four.
No, we're at number three by the Jets.
Okay.
And then number four for the Browns, I think they would pick Minkah Fitzpatrick, which is a safety out of Alabama. So those, did you ask me to do the first four or the first five?
That's enough.
That's not bad because Minkah is a good, excellent defensive back who could play cornerback or safety. He's played at safety for Alabama. Did excellent in the title game. So that's not a bad bit.
What and about the gentleman with the, and I say this respectfully, the gentleman with the missing hand?
Shaquille
Griffin. Where's he likely to go?
Ooh, he could go anywhere because once you get down to maybe around maybe the 10th pick of the draft, the 9th pick, 9th and 10th pick, teams that might need defense, they could definitely look at him. He was very impressive, ran a 4.340.
First round? You're saying?
I think he can go in the first round. I really do. Because, and again, we got to get into the minds of the owners, the coaches. And if you have a young man like that that can make things happen, because they said don't judge him because he has one hand. You have to treat him like he has two hands because he's been able to deal with life with one hand all of his life. So one hand is no big deal to him.
Right.
And when he played for Central Florida, who I think was also the national champions, he was impressive. I mean, that's big-time football.
Yeah.
When he played Auburn, he was impressive. Big-time football. That's what you judge other linebackers based on.
And let me just say this, too. I know you asked me to do the first four, but I see Denver is selecting number five as well. And I think Denver is going to pick Josh Rosen from UCLA. And I think that would be a very good pick for Denver to have Josh Rosen there with – John Elway. I think that would be a very good good fit.
You don't see Josh Allen going in the top five picks?
Josh Allen, no, and that's based on need.
Okay.
That's based on need of those teams that are selecting. And then number six, you have Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck. I don't think that they'll give up on Andrew Luck. As of right now.
Is Andrew Luck out of luck? When will he produce?
Well, he has to get healthy. And he's another one of those cases where I said last year, I'm not sure how soon Andrew Luck will be back. And it's the same thing I'm saying
about Kawhi
in
Leonard?
Philly.
Oh,
by who?
I thought you were going to say Kawhi Leonard.
No. In Philly, the quarterback from Philly, Carson
Wentz.
Exactly. I'm not sure how soon he'll be back. So same thing that I said with Andrew Luck. Who knows when he'll be back? You never know about these timetables. So same thing with Carson Wentz. We don't know that he's going to be the starting quarterback in Philly, and that's why you have to keep Foles around as a precaution. But back to the draft again, when we take a look at number seven, Tampa Bay doesn't need a quarterback, right? They should be good to go there as well. Mm-hmm. So they're probably looking elsewhere. Marcus Davenport has been rumored, and I think Tampa Bay is really looking on the defensive side of the ball as well to add to. Vita Vey, defensive tackle out of Washington, I think probably one of those two would be selected by Tampa Bay as well.
Do you know anything about Derwin James, safety from Florida State?
I don't.
So Tampa Bay, I'm thinking since Tampa Bay got to see him, he might be able to help out their secondary if they need anybody in the secondary. They might not need defensive lineman or a linebacker. But I'm thinking Derwin James, since he's already down in that area, that might be a good selection for them.
I'm not sure. Where is he projected? Is he projected as a first-round draft pick?
He's number two on the chart behind Bradley Chubb.
Okay. But I'm not sure if he's – and you said safety, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Florida State. He might not be needed because they already have bulked up their secondary in the past. But I'm just thinking if they need defense, if they would need somebody in the secondary, he might be there. And I'm thinking that Minka might end up there at down that far, depending on how it evolves. If it evolves the way you're saying it would, definitely not. But if it evolves the way I'm saying it would, Minka could be available around the 7 to 10 picks.
And I'll tell you something else about the draft. And again, everyone, we'll talk about this in more depth next week when we have Jim Fraser in here. But something else we have to look at, New England Patriots. I know that they're going through a lot of drama right now. Could you believe it? New England going through drama.
Yeah, they are. They are having, there's these rumors about the coach and the quarterback not getting along and what may come of that. But I think it's all rumor. I think they're both smarter than that and above that kind of fray. And what I want to know is, while we're constantly talking about the need for linebacker and defensive back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, be it free safety or corner, what about what's going to be done to plug up the middle of that defensive line where people keep running through like it's a sieve? Is there going to be, has there been any talk about where is the next Casey Hampton? I think that's a glaring miss. Just throwing it out there.
I think Hargrave is there, so that's something to talk about. That's a question that we can ask Jim Fraser as well next week. But just to go back to New England, they have the 23rd and the 31st pick of the draft. So if any team knows how to utilize their picks, New England is definitely the team. So that should be very interesting as well. And if I can, I know we have a little less than 5 minutes. We need to talk some Major League Baseball. Because I keep, Trev, I keep getting these texts two or three times a week talking about the Pirates this, the Pirates that. So the Pirates, as of Tuesday night, is 11-5. So you have a lot of happy people. It's kind of like fool's gold, Trev, fool's gold.
Like the Mets. The Mets are off to a fast start, too.
The Mets are expected to have a good ball club, though.
Right, I got you.
The Pirates aren't expected to do well. Josh Harrison just got hurt. So he's out anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks. So now, and this is one of the reasons that I mentioned I do not believe the Pirates would do well this year. There's a lot of reasons, starting off with pitching. But you have to be able to sustain the team for 162 games, and a lot could go wrong in 162 games. So we're starting to see it. Now, I do expect the Pirates to have a decent April, and I said it before, but then outside of April, things will fall apart because they'll play a stronger schedule. As well as I indicated, it's a marathon. So the more we go, the more I expect to see the Pirates to fall apart. But they are playing decent baseball as we speak. And I hope I'm wrong because I'm the biggest Pirate fan around. I'm just one of the smart ones.
Well, it's hard to tell if you're a fan or not because you've been dissing the team since they went to spring training. And I am at least willing to admit that I dissed them because no pitching, no World Series. Simple as that.
World Series. We got to think about a wild card first.
No, your objective when you open up the season is to win the World Series. That should be your objective.
Well, that shouldn't be the objective for the Pirates now.
But you get these texts from Major Mark Whitett, the ABA guru, and myself because what we're talking about is the present, not the future. Presently, we're winning. Presently, we're knocking the cover off the ball. Presently, the pitching is holding up fairly well. Presently, we've taken, I believe, the best of three straight series. So we're talking about what's going on now. And you said they would be no good from the gate. That's what you said. So they are good.
I'm talking about the whole season.
They are good out the gate.
They wouldn't be good. And we have one of the – and we probably have the worst bullpen if you're talking about currently – we have the worst bullpen in Major League Baseball.
It's the negativity.
One of the worst
like
anyway.
It's the negativity from people like you to make this team a bad team.
Well, it's the owner's fault. It's the owner's fault. Don't blame me, Bill Neal.
All right.
I'm calling it the way it is. Right. If the Pirates are sorry. They're sorry.
But they're not sorry right now.
Well, they're playing above their head.
Well, whatever
they're playing inferior competition.
Let me ask you a question. What's their record right now?
As of Tuesday night, they're 11-5.
Leading the conference?
Yes, they are. Yes, sir. No, in the division.
Leading the division.
In the division.
Leading their division. So at this time, are they good?
No, they're not. They have a good record.
Well, you can't have
a good
record.
They have a good record.
You can't have a good record if you're not good. Come on, man. You ain't talking to some guy on a street corner. Can't have a good record if you're not good.
I disagree with that. Well, all day. Clearly. Disagree. Okay. You could be winning in football 21-0 against someone who's far better than you, but you're in the first quarter.
That's a game. You can't have a good record in a division and not be good.
I disagree.
They're good now.
You know, when you play 162 games and you're 16 games into it, you can't say that that's
they're
a good team.
They're good now. They are clearly good. You can't argue with the facts. Right now, they're the best team in their division. They're good now. Now, you don't know that they don't win the World Series. You don't know that they won't win the World Series. It's your guess that they won't.
Do you think they're better than the Yankees?
That's a maybe.
The Yankees are 8-7 right now.
What are the Pirates?
Do you think that the Pirates are 11-5?
Right now, they're better than the Yankees, yeah. Their record says
they have a better record, Bill.
Their record is better than the Yankees.
That's the only thing I say.
Well, so
they're not a better team than the Yankees.
Well, right now they are. And the only way
I disagree.
The only way you know that to be true is if they played.
Now, and let's transition from the Pirates to Houston. Every week we talk about this. Every week we talk about who the Pirates got rid of and the way they're playing. And I'm not sure if you've been keeping up.
That Cole was throwing the ball
that
like
Garrett
no
Cole,
tomorrow.
Exactly.
Like
he has no probably like 36
That's what we do.
Strikeouts in three games.
We create pitchers and send them off to win World Series. That's what we do. That's our purpose.
And he was supposed to be the ace of our rotation. And I mentioned this before, and he's fourth in Houston's rotation. And this is another reason that I said that the Pirates will win probably somewhere between 65 and 70 games this year. We're getting rid of too many pieces, and you can't sustain getting rid of all these pieces year after year after year.
Well, ownership said they don't have enough money, and they got to let them go.
I don't believe you heard that, Bill, no. That the Pirates did not have enough money.
It's got to be a logical reason.
And then you have we talked about the Yankees as well, Bill. I'm not sure if you saw Aaron Hicks a couple nights ago. He had two home runs, Bill. Did you see that? He had an inside the parker, and he had a traditional home run game.
Why are you directing your wrath at me?
I just want to make sure you know what a quality
baseball
team looked like.
My team, because I'm a true fan, unlike yourself, I know that my team is leading the division with a very impressive record, very impressive hitting, above average pitching, and who knows how long it might go on. And if they take two out of three out of Colorado, I know we're on a run.
Two out of three for Colorado?
If we can get two games out of Colorado, I think it says that we are kind of real.
What's your prediction again, Bill?
About the Pirates?
About the Pirates for the year.
Well, see, that's not my place.
It's taking you too long. Well, now it's not your place.
My place is now. See,
no,
you're all about the future.
No.
My place is now.
No.
And right now, we got the best team in the division.
Yeah, you stick with that,
and
Bill.
We ain't scared of no Chicago Cubs, baby.
Well, we'll see. Like I said, this is a marathon, Bill.
We ain't scared of no
it's
stinking
not a sprint.
Cubs.
So what we need to do, Bill, we need to wrap this up.
Yeah, please do, because I'm dying over here, man.
Okay. This is Soul Take Champions Live. Again, we would like to thank all of you for listening to us today, and we'll be back at you next week, and we're going to have who on board, Bill?
Smoking Jim Frazier. Frazier's down. Frazier's down. Coming at you live and in serious color and giving you everything you need to know about the upcoming NFL draft.
And there we go. See you next week.
And as always, remember,
champions aren't born, they're made. And we make them better than anyone.
Soul Tape. The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.